Hello, Hope Church. I hope you're doing well. Despite the changes in our circumstances, our schedules, despite the threat of the coronavirus lurking not far away from us, thank the Lord that we are not in such a dire situation as so many other countries and even other counties here in our state of New Jersey are. I don't think that the virus has been detected yet within our county, which is something to thank the Lord for. Certainly other parts of the world are suffering drastically more. China is still in poor condition. Italy in very poor condition. Folks in Spain and France need permission from the government to step outdoors. In Spain, they even have drones flying over you if indeed you leave your house and ordering you in Spanish to go back home. We are not at that stage and pray that we won't come to that point. In light of the directives given by our president earlier this week, I want you to know that we will be canceling all of our services. That means that our morning worship, Sunday school, our Bible studies, our gateway, anything and everything we do throughout the week is going to be postponed until after we know things are safer and after the government gives us more liberty to join together. At this point, the president has asked us not to have groups larger than 10. And of course, he uses that number only because some families are 10 or more. He would really rather that we stay in the smallest amount of people groups as possible. And so for 2 weeks, we will be canceling, postponing all of our activities. In place of our gathering, we will keep in contact through videos like this one, phone calls, texting, emails, FaceTime. All this will help us to stay connected while being isolated. And we can encourage one another this way, and we can even grow spiritually, even though we cannot gather together for this short while. In 2 weeks, we will put a finger to the wind and see in what direction it's blowing and decide what we're going to do next. The church building, however, is open to you. We just don't want people gathering together here. You can come, meditate, and pray, as some people like to do. Cleaning teams are still needed, at least for this week. And the church library is also open to you. Those of you who are being forced to stay home from work or school may very well benefit from a book or a video from our church library. But don't worry, we are sanitizing and we'll keep doing that. We are looking also to set up a way by which you can give your tithes and offering online. Meanwhile, you can snail mail any contribution to our church address, 1441 Route 565, Wantage, New Jersey, 07461. Or you can even personally drop it off and put your contribution in the offering box in the foyer. But most of all, I want to encourage you today to take time to pray. Prayer is our greatest resource in these times of crisis. Let me share with you a few words from the scriptures and then give to you some pertinent prayer concerns. Reading from John chapter 14, beginning of verse 15, right to the end of the chapter, we see the final farewell of Jesus Christ to his disciples. And what you see in chapter 14 of John is the use of a Greek word often transliterated paraclete, not parakeet. That's a whole different species, a paraclete. A paraclete is someone who is called alongside to help and to strengthen another person. A paraclete is one who comes as a comforter. In fact, at times in your New Testament, it will be translated just that, comforter or counselor, advocate, helper. A paraclete is best described as someone who comes alongside of another, who encourages the other, aids and guides the other person. Sometimes the term also refers to legal help, sort of as in an advocate, meaning that God can serve as a lawyer, At times, as in John 16, beginning of verse 7 through 11, God is a prosecuting attorney. And in that same text, you see that he is a legal defender as well, our helper, our counselor, as someone who stands beside the other and defends the needs of that other. However, in John chapter 14, we see that the Holy Spirit is certainly a paraclete. There, Christ is very clear as to who he's referring to. In this final address to his disciples, to the 12, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as paraclete as he explains God's supernatural aid to those who belong to him. You can imagine how saddened the disciples were when they heard that Jesus Christ would be leaving, that he would be returning to his place in heaven. However, Christ does not leave him alone. He sends instead a second paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Why a second paraclete? Well, because in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, we see that Jesus Christ is the first paraclete. Let me read to you from 1 John 2, 1. Towards the end of your Bible, John writes and he says, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have an advocate, a paraclete, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Christ is the first paraclete. He is the one who speaks to God the Father in our defense, and he stands as the mediator between God and us. Paul makes that very clear in 1 Timothy 2:5, that there is only one mediator between God and man, and this is Jesus Christ. By virtue of his atoning death on the cross, he is our mediator. However, here in John chapter 14, Jesus is promising to send someone else who will stand in his place as he physically dies and leaves this earth and takes up his rightful place in glory. Well, in times like these, it is good to remember that we have two paracletes. One whose work is done, and now he defends us before the throne of God the Father. And the other paraclete remains with us from day to day, hour by hour. This paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is also referred to in that same text, John 14, 17, as the Spirit of Truth. That is, he's the one who conveys God's truth to us and confirms in us that we are children of God. Verse 23. But there is more. In this, Christ's farewell speech, he explains that the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, who, quote, "the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Verse 25. Not only is he our comforter, but he's also our teacher, according to verse 25. And our reminder. And the one who will give us understanding. In times like these, it does seem like the world is out of control. And in a very true sense, it is. It is out of control. But never is it out of God's control. While we don't know what's going to happen next week, we don't know what 7 days from now will bring, we do know this. We do know who will be at our side. Our paraclete, our advocate, our counselor, our comforter, our helper, the Holy Spirit himself. In Jesus Christ, we are not alone, for he has sent to us the paraclete, the very Holy Spirit who sustained him will sustain us, comfort us, teach us, remind us, guide us, and be at our side. So trust in the Lord. Of course, do what is wise, do what is necessary to evade the virus. You may even have to prepare for a long haul. But know that Christ has given to us the Holy Spirit who abides with all of us who are in Christ. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is with you, the Paraclete. So turn to him and find comfort in the situation that you may be struggling with even now. Find comfort not because the situation is comfortable, but find comfort because God is there. You cannot control it, but He is at your side. He can control it. So my friends, stay connected. Let the church office know if you have any special need. We would like to try to help. Keep praying for one another. Keep praying for our nation, our leaders, our neighbors. Respect the directives of our government. Keep calm. Keep patient. And trust in the Lord. Now let me give you 10 prayer concerns, things we ought to be praying for. And I invite you to join us tonight at 7:30. We can rally together, and though we are separated in terms of distance, we can be praying for one another and be praying in unison. You can pause the video here, get a piece of paper and a pen, and jot these 10 items down. Here's the first one. Pray for peace, stability, patience, and proper conduct while our nation struggles through this crisis. Number two, pray for the elderly in our congregation and around us. They are most susceptible to this virus. Number three, pray that God will continue to work in the lives of those whom we know who have contracted the virus. But we can praise God that little Levi in Seattle, that's Judy Nunneman's grandson, has recovered from the coronavirus. Unfortunately, his dad, Andy, does have symptoms. Number four, pray for a few people who are ill. Kevin Posolowski's dad, Frank, is undergoing cancer treatment. Joyce Tataro has severe ovarian and lung cancer in Ohio and needs our prayers. And Tina in Virginia Beach, a Christian woman who was diagnosed with cancer of the heart and was given a week to live just this week. Pray for her as she prepares to meet her Creator and Savior. Here's number five. Pray for our nation's economy and our personal finances during this time of crisis. Number six, pray that God will use these months to draw people's attention to Him. That God will use the crises to make people look upward to our Savior. Here's number seven. Pray that our neighbors will see the brevity of life and look to understand what is eternal. That they will see the hope that we have and that we will be able and quick to give a reason for the hope we possess. Number eight, pray for Rick Quimby's potential trip to Italy with Samaritan's Purse. Samaritan's Purse just sent out a plane with equipment for 64 hospital beds and more than 30 medical workers. Number nine, pray for a future trip to evangelize in Cuba. Because of the virus, our Cuba missions trip was postponed, probably till September or October. It's still uncertain, but pray for this future trip. Pray that we'll be able to get visas and that Joe will be able to get time off from work. And number 10, praise God that Julia Van Glan was able to fly out of Spain, and Micah, my son, will be coming home from Ireland on Friday and Saturday. It'll be a long trip via Chicago. Pray for him as he makes his way back home. Thank you so much for listening, for participating, and for praying. Let's stay connected. God bless you.